Hi, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and you're listening to Entrepreneur Circle with Eric Cabral.
On this episode,
sales is not making somebody buy something. Sales is the transfer of excitement, right? And it's people wanting to be a part of what you find exciting and meaningful. That's sales.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to another episode of the Entrepreneur Circle podcast, where we inspire you by talking to entrepreneurs and business owners about mindset, goals, vision, tips and strategies on how to crush life and business. I am your host, Eric Cabral, real estate investor and a creative. I've been in the creative industry for over 20 years, got my start in New York City as a junior art director, and made my way up the corporate ladder to become the creative director at the number one pharma company in the world. That was until I decided to hang up my corporate hat and start my own creative agency called On Air Brands, where we broadcast your brand and your message using social media and live stream events. Hit us up at info@onairbrands.com to learn more. Also, like, subscribe, and share this podcast on social. We greatly appreciate you for it. And also, don't hesitate to send us any feedback that you may have, because we always love hearing from you. Before we jump into the show, I'd like to share what some of our sponsors, partners, and friends of the show have to offer you.
Hello, this is Josh McCowan, CEO of Viva May Hospitality and the beautiful Renault Resort Winery. I have to tell you, the secret's out, and the secret is On Air Brands. On Air Brands, creative agency, which specializes in launching podcasts, transforming live events into live streaming events, and social media marketing soup to nuts. On Air Brands has changed the game. There'll never be a day from here forward when you and I and our companies don't need to be on the air. Every brand needs to be on the air, but so few know that. So it's great to work with a group that are ahead of the curve and to find a company that has been built on the core foundation of the future of marketing. If you're ready to broadcast your brand like they've done for my brands, take the next step and make a change that can transform your business. Reach out to On Air Brands today. That's onairbrands.com. Yes, onairbrands.com.
Hey there, folks. We are back and excited to be here, because this is a unique episode coming at you, a series of episodes unique to the Entrepreneur's Circle, because we had never done this before. But what this episode is one of many episodes coming from the Mid-Atlantic Summit, which was an amazing event put on by my good friend Dave Van Horn of PPR Note. And what was cool about the event was not just the wealth of content that was coming at us from every angle, multiple stages running at the same time in Philadelphia, but the quality of the people in the network, the people that were attending, the people that were on stage, the people that you were surrounded by were all next level. Part of a culture of people that just want to level up and help you level up and want to learn from each other and to grow one another and with each other. So this is such a cool event. I highly recommend Mid-Atlantic Summit. Check that out at midatlanticsummit.com. But what we were doing there was representing our event called PodMax. And we were so happy and so proud to be a sponsor and a partner with Dave at this event, because we flew our PodMax banner really proudly and we showed everyone what that event was. And if you aren't familiar with it, please go check out podmax.co. And what PodMax is an event that happens. It's one day and we run entrepreneurs through the gauntlet of recording shows one after the other, back to back, all under one house, one roof, and one day, the most efficient use of your time. And what's cool about it is we have partnered with a bunch of top-rated podcasts like MC Lobster's Cashflow Ninja and Matt Faircloth's DeRosa Group YouTube channel, Liz Faircloth's Real Estate Investor Show, and Jason Impelian Urusi's REI Foundation. And for those of you who are big fans of the Entrepreneur Circle, Capital Hacking is there as well. So there's that and many, many more shows that are a part of PodMax, and we get to give that to people an opportunity to tell their story on these multiple platforms and to share their story with all these different communities. So what we did was at the Mid-Atlantic Summit, set up a little slice of that experience on in one day or 2 days at the event where Mr. Josh Carey of The Hidden Entrepreneur was there interviewing people. And Josh is also part of the PodMax event. And he interviews people, and he is the ultimate professional when it comes to podcast interviews. Everyone on the team has internally started calling him the doctor. When he walks in the door, the doctor's in, because he gets to work. He operates. He gets into your brain, and he starts pulling things out that you never knew were even there. And it's such an amazing experience, and we were so truly blessed to have him there interviewing people. So this episode is an episode where Josh is a guest host on the Entrepreneur Circle interviewing people at the Mid-Atlantic Summit. So please check out our event if you want experience or you want to hear more about it, because it truly is a unique experience that we are giving to people, and we're really super proud to be helping entrepreneurs tell their story, broadcast their brand on multiple platforms. So check it out at podmax.co, and please hit the Apply Now button to enter into the next one. The dates will always be updated on our website. So check that out at podmax.co. And please enjoy this episode with special guest host, Josh Carey.
Well, hey there. Thank you for tuning back in. It's Josh Carey here coming to you live from Mid-Atlantic Summit. I love it. Do you love it?
I love it.
My guest right here. This is, as you know, I am guest hosting, thanks to Eric Cabral, on his Entrepreneur Circle show. And I couldn't be more happy to be doing this. I'm sitting here with Adam Cherko, who works for EXP Realty.
Yes, sir.
Are you loving this whole thing as early as it is, right?
Absolutely. It's not early.
Exactly. Correction. It's not early. I'm sure we've all been up for a handful of hours.
That's it. Yeah.
But I meant it's early in the event.
Oh, in the event.
Right?
Sure. Absolutely.
It is
absolutely
early.
Yep. Happy to make this connection right away.
Yeah. Now, you said it's not early, which lets me know you get...
Work long hours.
And you get up early?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I try to. I mean, in all honesty, I wish I was getting up earlier. But, you know, when you tend to work late, you need a certain number of hours, right?
Are you sleeping? All work and no play or what?
No. A little bit of play. So our guests, you know, listening can't see. I'm wearing a cowboy hat.
I was going to reference it. Go ahead. You brought
fine.
It up. I'm glad you did.
I have a line dancing instruction company.
Is this really true?
It is.
Say it again.
In New York. Line dancing instruction. So I teach people how to line dance.
I wouldn't have known, literally, even with the cowboy hat.
Yep.
I just thought it was a fashion statement.
Yep, not just a fashion statement.
A good one that you can pull off. I don't know if everybody could pull it off. I'm not sure I could.
It's good then that I'm doing it. But yeah, so I do. There's a lot of enjoyment in life as well.
Tell me about the line dancing.
Yeah.
I didn't know it still existed.
No, it does. There's actually a larger following for line dancing in this country. Actually, even internationally, there's quite a bit of it going on in Europe. But I learned how to do it about 8 years ago, had a good time. Really, I had a wonderful instructor, similar to what you can find in real estate when you find a good mentor. And it just took off, and there was a need for me to start teaching it. So I started a company and in Lower New York, do lessons on a weekly basis and go out and have a good time.
Is that your... Oh, well, I guess it's not your main. That's part of
Correct.
Your source of income?
It is a small source.
Is it?
It's more of an enjoyment thing.
Really?
But it also, I mean, it leads to building a network. And, you know, I've got people that I've helped in real estate through the network I've grown
wow.
in the line dancing as well.
Were you always an entrepreneur?
I have the story like everybody else, I think, right? Lemonade stands. I think I was making keychains in elementary school and trying to sell them to other students, right? I mean.
So true. Go ahead.
Yeah. So
25 cents, 50 right. cents, whatever it
and,
was.
And I think the bigger thing is, right, I've got a background in structural engineering. My college degree was architectural engineering.
Wow.
Started doing that work out of college and always felt like a slave and just could never get happy. I went from job to job. Structural engineering, I taught high school for 5 years and then went back into project management and did high-rise work in Manhattan. All while just not enjoying getting up every day and not enjoying what I was doing. I made great salaries, but I was never happy.
Ooh, I love it.
Found real estate, actually read one book, and it wasn't Rich Dad like everybody
right,
else,
right.
right? It was Million Dollar Real Estate Investor.
Okay.
And that just, I realized, okay, I can start reading to get this knowledge. As you know, as we had discussed off, you know, yeah. before line, right? There was history in my family of being in real estate, but it was never discussed. And it was one of those things that once I started reading about it, realized that this was the path that I felt I needed to be on.
Before we go further down that path,
sure.
I yep. want to talk about. You said you spent a good handful of what sounded like your adult life chasing something. But never, even with the money, it sounded
sure.
like you had income, you had a lifestyle that you were fine with, but you just weren't satisfied, weren't mm-hmm. successful, weren't secure. What did you find was missing? What was the missing piece?
I think it's that freedom piece. It's and again, maybe this comes to being an entrepreneur in spirit. If I felt like I was being told I had to be somewhere and do something, and even as far back as running track in high school, I was a pole vaulter in high school.
Oh, that's interesting.
And the coach would tell me to go run and cheering you on, come on, run faster. And it always, it dug down into me because
Because
like,
somebody
I'm
was telling
as fast as I
and
can
somebody
run.
Was telling you what to do, so there
right.
was a tension there.
And again, that's small potatoes, right? I
right.
mean, when you're talking about business, right? I mean, I've always wanted to do the right thing, be as good as I can be at anything I do, right? Graduating top of class and those sort of things.
Oh, you did.
I was 33 out of 600 kids when I graduated high school, and you know, went to an engineering degree and. You know, did that in
wow.
4 years. And, you know, I mean, right? I was trying to please and I was trying to do, right?
Wow.
But then coming into working, right? Life changes when you get out of school and you go to start working and you've got to get up at these crazy hours and you get home at the end of the week and you're like, what did I actually make? How do I actually have that life that, again, getting into family life, right? I mean, we had things when I was growing up. We were in a good position for a portion of that time, and it was most likely because of the real estate. And when you get out of college and you're just working this job at even $50,000 a year when you first get out, which back then sounded great, you still have nothing, right? All you do is on your weekend, you've got to do laundry and go shopping for the week so you can work for 18 hours a day. And it just never, I never felt fulfilled. I always felt like I was tied to something.
So was a missing piece also feeling that there was meaning and purpose to what you were doing? Was that anything?
Well, it possibly, right? So as at that point, I was doing structural engineering work. And, wow. You know, you're working for a company, but you're basically just doing whatever the architect tells you. You have no vision in
just
it,
like the pole
right?
vault.
Correct,
yeah, yeah.
right? I mean, it literally, you spend a week designing a floor and beam system because the architect wants it a certain way, and then you show it to them a week later, and they're like, oh, you know what? No, we changed. We don't want the column there. We want the column over here because we're moving a bathroom, right? and then you're like, but okay, it just took a week to get the size of the column and the depth of the beam.
Wow.
And now you just want to change it because it looks, you know.
That didn't sit well.
No, it didn't. And
right.
and I could have been anybody, right? A computer could have, and really a computer is doing the job, right? But my creativity and who I was had nothing to do with that project. I was just a cog in the wheel.
Wow.
So, wow. You know, it didn't feel like it was something that I wanted to be in long term.
What was family life like? You alluded to your father. What
yep.
what was he doing growing up?
Well, so my father was a funeral director, family business.
Oh, wow.
I think it was just sort of part of the nature of the beast back then. They would buy up real estate. I mean, he owned almost the whole block of where the funeral home was. They had, you know, the funeral home building where he grew up, but next door he bought an apartment building, started another funeral home there.
Wow.
Had another apartment building on the adjacent property behind, and then had probably two or three other larger apartment buildings on the continuation of that block. He had an alcohol problem, though, and growing up, it was always a roller coaster ride. And through those years, we had more than many people did, right? We had a summer home, boats, cars, you know, like he had things, right? A wonderful family. I have two sisters.
Great.
My mother's amazing. But he lost those things because of the alcohol, right? It was always, businesses weren't run properly. There was always money going to support a habit, right? There were things he was running from internally. We ended up losing him 10 years ago to the alcohol. But the big thing was, in that prime time where, as a young person, I could have been learning about real estate and managing of properties and things like that, that was never discussed. Once we lost him, I started realizing, you know, there were a couple of things that came into play. I started reading about real estate and sort of educating myself on it, sort of two different paths, but then making those connections to the past and realizing... Wow. The only reason I had the lifestyle I had was because he had that passive income coming in on a monthly basis, right? He spent maybe half the summer with us in Rhode Island, where we had our summer home.
Fancy.
Because he had this other income coming in.
Wow.
Right? And it's just a matter right now for me of building that freedom and trying to get to that place. So as I start my family, I'm able to spend time with them and the rest of my family, right? My sisters who now have families and my mom who's still around, being able to enjoy time with them and grow.
Wow. What did you think or learn about the world, while you were still living under their roof, seeing and really knowing what your father's doing and what's happening? What did you start telling yourself about the world around you?
Well, so, I mean, I decided back in high school that, you know, while friends were partying and drinking, that it was something I was not going to take part in. It was, you know, to be able to see at that age, right, you've got a wonderful family and you know, the person that you love and care for very much, you feel as though they're choosing a bottle over a family, right? And it's hurtful. I didn't ever want to put all that time. It's the same way, like, I don't like to gamble, right? I work really hard for the money. I don't want to just throw it away, right? If I'm going to work really hard to find the woman of my dreams, which I possibly may have, and start a family, you know, I don't want to get to the point where I can lose it by making a stupid decision, in a sense. I mean, again, whether there's reasons, chemical reasons that somebody does choose those things over others. I mean, that's a whole other podcast, right?
Yeah.
But I wanted to make that decision to try to keep things as clear and calculatable, right? And I think that comes from my engineering background, right? I want to be able to make decisions that will get me to where I'd like to be.
Wow. So while this was happening, were you and your sisters and or you and your mother really compensating the love and affection and the comfort and safety in that environment?
I think you described it very well in that question, right? I would say that absolutely. There was never, if you look at my sister's relationships with their husbands,
wow,
and even the way, you know, my mother kind of still works with us, you would never know that we came from a family that had so much chaos. You know, maybe during it may have looked, you know, a little chaotic at times, but it, love, affection, communication, those things my mother did for us. Right, they were there. Did we discuss things financially the way I now have an understanding of financing and real estate and those things? No, right. She didn't have that background. Somehow she managed to keep us in a house. Right, we didn't lose our house and those sort of things. But you know, she would very much quote Susie Orman and you know, very much, you know, Adam, you need to have a savings fund of 6 months and you need to, but mom, if I'm only making X amount and my expenses are X amount and there's no money to save, how am I supposed to do that? Right. It was never, you know, find another source of income and try to build and, you know, the entrepreneurial, my mother didn't necessarily have the entrepreneurial side. And she always looked at my father's entrepreneurial side as uncalculated risk.
A liability, perhaps?
Very much.
Really?
So there was always the conversation of debt is bad and, you know, just get a job that's safe, that has an income, right? So that was really, okay, I'm going to school. I'm going to be an engineer. I'm going to have a wonderful job.
So that's where that mindset came from in your world.
That's very much where it came from, right? It was trying to keep
her
family happy, but also, right, that's what people do, right? You know, and then that mind shift is what got me into, especially even finding EXP and trying to build financial freedom while doing things that I love.
And you're in a sales position.
Correct. Right?
Were you always a sales guy? I mean, we spoke about the entrepreneurial spirit.
Does that go along with it? I waitered in high school, right? I mean, you know, there's always, you have to sell. Right. But
it's all selling.
And this is what I love now that, you know, I've met other people, whether it be in the podcast space or just the investing space. Sales is not making somebody buy something. Sales is the transfer of excitement. Right. And it's people wanting to be a part of what you find exciting and meaningful. That's sales.
I love that you use the word transfer of excitement. I've never heard that, and I didn't think you were going to go there. I thought you were going to say the transfer of value or that
but,
sort
but
of...
But value is exciting, right?
It could be. It should be, right?
It should be.
Yeah. Tell me about a time when you were confronted and sitting in the face of fear, and you knew you had to make a decision one way or another. It could have gone one way, but you said, you know what? Got to step forward right into this and see what happens.
I mean, it could even be that transition into real estate as a full-time thing. So, I mean, I started investing in things probably about 10 years ago when I almost didn't know I was investing. And that's even another story too, right? But I made a decision while I was a project manager. I was working in Manhattan on a high-rise construction project. I wanted to be in the real estate space to at least create that freedom. And it's a challenge, right? When you go full time, you don't have that income, right? Even if you've tried to build a network, it still takes some time, right? I was actually, it's a funny story. I bought a duplex in Westchester. I mean, it's an expensive market. Looking for a long time, I decided I would get my real estate license because I couldn't find an agent that knew enough. You know, I'd walk into a building with an agent and they tell me I could remove a wall and make a room bigger. And as a structural engineer, I was like, we should probably remove the ceiling and see where the joists are sitting to make that determination. How can you tell somebody that?
I
at least can catch that. But, you know, Joe homeowner, Joe homebuyer isn't going to say that to you. So I figured, let me get my license, right?
Wow.
I'll be able to show my family that I'm starting to get into real estate on a regular basis and eventually be able to take that jump, right, out of the full-time job and do it full-time. Well, I almost, it's funny, there's, you know, Joe Fairless has his story about how he got fired and, you know, I got fired a year ago. It may have been my particular boss at that time and I personally, I think, didn't see eye to eye, right? I came into the company as an engineer trying to systematize things. He was a mom and pop shop, so to speak, growing into much larger projects, but he still wanted to run it. He still wanted to be involved in every decision, would ask you to do something, you'd spend time doing it, and then he would change it, right? And I think he could see that my entrepreneurial spirit, I couldn't fall into the mold.
Yeah.
And I think it goes to everything that we've spoken about.
I know,
right?
I'm seeing that theme.
There's very much a pattern, right? And so he let me go, and it was the morning that I got my accepted offer on a property that I had been looking for a year, right? So we were able to work it out so that I could still purchase the property and still had income and all those things. But at that point, then I went full-time real estate. And it was right around the time that I had gotten, you know, I started with EXP.
And now that has then started to grow. So it was a jump off, right? And there's always a little pre-planning, right? You want to have a goal and a direction. And then even when you get put into a position where there's fear or unknown, you're prepared at least for something. And I know we didn't even touch upon it, but I'm an Eagle Scout also, right? So I don't know if it was, you know, getting that sort of an education growing up and just being prepared and trying to be a leader. I by no means feel that I'm a true effective leader at this point, right? We're all growing and we're all learning constantly. But there are initiatives that are taken, and I think it comes from that sort of a thing.
Looking to wrap up this show, what a fascinating guy, fascinating story. I feel like obviously this can go on for
sure,
for much longer. What hasn't been said yet that you think is important to round out this whole conversation?
I think the importance really is trying to focus on something that will provide you a passive income, right? I know we really almost didn't talk about that because we're talking more about my story, but the whole point of coming to conferences like this, meeting the people in this space, is really trying to just get a comfortable understanding of what's going on, and then find that piece that you can jump into. For me, it was very much trying to get into the multifamily space and realizing that I live in New York. Everything's multifamily, right? And it's understanding that anybody can get into the ownership of a multifamily asset. You just need some education, you need some time, some money, right? And there's a combination of any of those things. But I was then presented with an opportunity to join EXP and work with Darren Sager and a few other people that I highly respect. I can now take a step back from purchasing multifamily, right? The market's gotten hot. Some of the deals people are taking less in what they know they should get as a return to get into the space. And I can build up this brokerage that is expanding at a rapid rate, something that is a finite time period in history that I happen to have gotten an opportunity to join. So I'm taking a lot of time right now to educate people and show them that there are ways, while doing exactly what you're doing as a real estate agent or broker, an independent broker, and come in to a company that supports the agents, gives them ownership, provides a passive income opportunity. They're actually going to be providing health insurance options coming in November, which is unheard of for a 1099 employee at a real estate firm. And grow this passive income that once that's set and there's large amounts coming in every month, I can then go back into the multifamily space. Ideally, the market will have come down. I'll have built relationships with other people and then get into that passive side.
Absolutely fascinating. How can people find you and follow up with you?
You know, Facebook's a wonderful place. Just Adam Cherko, Cherko. Bigger Pockets, I'm on there as well. I try to stay active, but again, it's hard as we're growing and trying to run our businesses. But of course, Instagram, all of those things, if you type in Cherko, you'll probably either get the line dancing or the real estate, but they all kind of link to one another.
Lest we forget that aspect of Adam Cherko. Was this a success for you sitting down here?
Absolutely. I appreciate the conversation. It's been wonderful.
Likewise. Thank you for tuning in. We'll do it again real soon.
Thank you.
That's it for now, folks. If you'd like to stay in touch with the show, you can contact me directly at eric@onairbrands.com. That's Eric, E-R-I-K, @onairbrands.com. And if you aren't already subscribed to the show, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. And please recommend us to one or two people in your circle. That will go a long, long way to growing our community. Also, if you could rate us on iTunes, just take a moment to give us 5 stars. And if they have more stars, give all of them. We'd greatly appreciate you for that. And always, always like, subscribe, and share this show on social media. We'd love you for that as well. And if you have any ideas or want to hear something on a future show, please hit us up. Maybe you have a question for one of my guests, or you want to tell a story, a success story. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that, especially if you're on the Anchor platform. You can leave us a voice message. We'd love to incorporate you and your voice on a future episode. Once again, folks, thanks again for listening to the Entrepreneur Circle. Please like, subscribe, and share. I am Eric Cabral, and as always, remember, your network is your net worth. So get in the circle.